Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Downtown. I am Pastor Kermit Rickenberg. You could tell that I am not Pastor Doug Callison. He is out of town, and I believe one of his family members is having their 90th birthday, so I'm happy to help fill in for him today. And we have with us Project Barnabas today as well, that are in the back from Operation Barnabas. I believe do you guys do announcements at the end? Yes, that's right. Okay, well, bear with me here. Well, let us begin worship by the sharing of the peace. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, he has given his Son to die for us. And it's for his sake that he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each of us will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' Whenever you enter a town, if they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you,
Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There once was a well-intentioned pastor who wanted more to just simply come to his church. And he noticed in his community how people would just look at their screen time as if it were sacred time. Phones and tablets and computers, these were starting to make their TVs become neglected, it seemed, and he wondered, what do people really treasure today? Like techno-info junkies, people would just zombie by his church, it seemed like, holding their screens, their phones, every day, walking by on the sidewalks and even driving in their cars, always looking to consume, stay connected, posting and streaming. The well-intentioned pastor, he decided he wanted people to become more in touch with God. So he thought, I'll gather donations of phones and tablets and computers from people, and I'll just download a Bible text on them. And he put them outside with a sign that read, free to take, touch God anytime. And he walked by his gadget box display every day with glee, hoping to see who walking by would take one of his Bible-loaded screens. And to his amazement, no one was taking them. Now, meanwhile, across the street from this pastor's church, there was a place that people avoided even more than his church. It was a prison. Most people would dare not look to the left or the right when driving down this street. And in this prison, there was a man who became like one of these little ones that you often hear Jesus speak about in the Gospels. He began to realize that the bars around him in jail were there justly, that he was getting what he deserved, but he started to realize that they're not the most prominent bars in his life. It was the bars inside his very members that held him captive. It was the very kind of person that he is, was his bars, not his crimes. Now, it didn't matter if you were among the guards or a visitor or any of those people who dared go walk across the street and walk into that church over there. He kept seeing people who were sad or depressed, sometimes angry, sometimes happy. Often hopeless people he saw walking around and distracted. He saw how they shook the bars in their lives by how they carried themselves. Now you see, like the ancient Jews, this prisoner he learned to become a prisoner of hope. Are you and I today prisoners of hope? The prophet Zechariah, he gave a promise of getting back double, and this seemed strange to him at first. He thought to himself, all I long for is getting my freedom and making it through the rest of this life without too much trouble. Where on this street, he thought, could I get such help? No one wants to go to that church over there across the street because nobody sees themselves hardly as anyone needing hope. They don't see the kind of prisoner they are. If only someone would give them a personal connection, he thought. They still think literal bars are their problem in life. People don't see how the church Jesus gave us here on earth can help to make us sinners to become prisoners of hope. Like everyone else, people struggle with blaming others for their problems. Now, across the street, if you recall, was that well-intentioned pastor, and he was busy checking his gadget box that day and looking under that take free sign. And he thought to himself, we have nearly $1,000 phones to give away and nobody wants them. So he thought, maybe if I could find a different way to relate. Finally, the frustrated pastor at this point, he changes the sign, makes it twice as big, and it says now, touch your God, in capital letters, G-O-D, free iPhones. They were all gone within the hour. And many more came angry that there were no more gods to touch. You see, for this community, screen time had become the new sacred time. Nearly all of your information, your news, your media, entertainment, socializing, came to people through these kinds of screens. And people's worst of natures would sometimes come out to play in all kinds of secret places. Posting cruel things would often become an endless playground that would trap some. And sometimes I've heard people even use them for work or school. But often that was a part of the grand justification of all of these screens. Some people even say that they developed an undying thirst for always having to be connected, always have to be online, otherwise they could not go on living. You see, there is always a comfort in being able to touch your God every day and read its posts and prove your points to people you care about and then diss those that you despise. Your flesh, it always wants to be connected, always wants to be entertained, always feel like you can make a difference in this world without ever really having to change anything about yourself for the better or helping anyone consistently. But we all know our neighbor needs hands-on help more than they need our likes or posts. They need someone real to bring them the true God more than they need to wait for another app update. The people of this community, they became the victims of their own demise. You see, they can learn more about depression online than ever before, yet their God is powerless to cure any of it. Where can true hope be found today? There's always more videos, there's always more games, there's always more addictions that can come to dull our slow death in misfed life and soul. It is an outbreak in this city. The genie's out of the bottle. It flows into all of our family and friends and neighbors. When sacred time is devoted to gods of tech and information, our inmost part knows that something is off here. We try to pretend that something's not really that bad at all. This is progress, we say. And so we are often given the challenge in every generation, at every sacred moment. And in this one, what do we consider to be screen time more deserving of our life? Jesus praised that the little ones get this. He wasn't talking about them helping to program our phones for us or our grandkids. Now, one day, the prisoner, if you recall at the prison who on the cross of the street, who miraculously was given just a little bit of faith, he got a new cellmate that day. And that new cellmate complained constantly about how the prison controlled everything in his life. When you eat, when you shower, when you can talk, who you can talk to, what you get to eat, when you get rec time, and so on. Worst of all, there were no screens to look at or play with, and so he was convinced it was completely evil here. But the prisoner who became one like Jesus' little ones, he said, "You think that this is bad, us getting what we deserve here in jail? But evil is always closer than that within us all the time, controlling us more than this jail controls us. If only, for example, I could make good choices in life. I can't even consistently stick to a healthy diet." Now, if you think you've heard it all, if you think you've done it all, you don't know what evil really is. Until you've seen something that is good and something that is untainted, till you've been given a little piece of that goodness by some miracle and then not be able to live by it consistently, to know what is right and then to end up going and doing the opposite. These are the evil bars inside of us. The ones always that are holding us captive, it seems. Always making us crave perverse and detestable things. Always taunting us into pretending to others we're something we're not. You see, whenever we go and do what we want, we often become hypocrites to goodness. And when we by some miracle live and think good things, we often become hypocrites to the evil that lurks within us. Only a death sentence can stop this madness. And thus, this is why I want to learn how to live free behind these bars that are within me. Before leaving jail, before leaving this life. Most out there, or even in here, they don't see these bars inside them. They live their lives distracted by screens and other things, without seeing the evil for what it is, and will often blame others for their problems. They act especially despise the hypocrisy of Christians and mock us as simple-minded for just having a little faith in Jesus. And that's why I want to learn what it means to be a prisoner of hope in this condition, to be given a chance, whether in this life or the life to become, to be given back times two what I lost from the evil bars in my soul. Now, this new cellmate that this prisoner was given, he was from a different prison, as you recall. And there was little rules, and there were plenty of screens to go around and things to do, and you could do practically anything at the jail that he came from. But here, it seems so stifling to him, so boring, and so he wants to break out. So our little faith prisoner. He tells him tonight, I'll show you how to get out of the worst prison in life. He turns to his Bible. He says, be a little one. Be a prisoner of hope with me. Out there on the streets, there are still churches that are hiding in plain sight, and people can keep walking and driving by them. They can bury themselves into their screens and their lives and other things. But once I get out there, I'm going to join one. I want to start getting back times to what I lost before I realized the greater jail, how I am a prisoner to my own evil. I'm not going to be my own death sentence here. Christ was my death sentence on a cross that I never had to see. I'm going to start to live my life free now. I'm going to start to look for less trouble to be forgiven of. I'm going to use the little faith that I have for good. You see, if you want to get out of the greatest prison or even greatest problem in your own life, be a prisoner of hope. For your hope is found in finally being rescued from this body of death. To live with what St. Paul struggled with. To be carried by the grace of God where no one else will carry my hypocrisy. God makes little ones out of all of us. When we realize how little we contribute to anything other than our own sin. He creates innocence in your life where none was thought possible again. Innocence to hold on to childlike faith. Innocence to trust him solely and fight back against the selfishness that will often play screen master over our souls. And so now you have real choice. We can really live free. Screens, sure, they can be used as tools now, rather than the other way around. We could choose to love our neighbor as ourselves, now that ourself is not always in the way. We can look forward to getting back times two in this life, or the life to come. This is better than all of your problems. You've become a prisoner of hope. Now you and I know what some of the sinful bars in our own lives look like. And we would rather escape them than be trapped with them forever. And God will fulfill his promise to you just as he did to the ancient Jews. And the time is coming when he will take you from the evil bars in your life. And you will be a prisoner of hope in the meantime. Our little life will now have more hope and peace and meaning here along the way. Nothing in this hopeless or crazy world can trap you more than what you're facing in yourself right now. So don't be afraid, our Lord says. God has given us all a way out through hope in his Son. You are a prisoner of hope. God is going to break you out before you know it. And may his Spirit be with you until then. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds with Christ Jesus. Always. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the gathering of the offering.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
now let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon your church here on earth as she struggles with many challenges and seeks out new opportunities to minister to her saints and to those in the community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our nation as we celebrate another anniversary in our midst. Help us to be a beacon of hope and truth in the world. Help our leaders, local and national, to serve to the good of the people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember those who protect us, those who are seen and unseen, from our armed services to those on our very streets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing to be upon all those who seek work, those who work, those who are retired, those who are not able to work, those looking for work. Be upon them all and help them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we ask you, Lord, again for your thanks for helping us with our struggles in this life, our own bars that are in us are ourselves. Help us to live our lives as prisoners of hope, knowing that we will not be like this forever, that we will be with you and all of the saints and all of our loved ones who have died and gone before us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing upon this holy meal and all who partake of it to this day, that it may be for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up all these things, Lord, into your hands, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them all, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Also with you. And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in this holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the one true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
The announcements today are basically, there is none except for one that is special, and Mr. Mike Hoffman's going to talk to us a little bit about Operation Barnabas. He's working his way up here slowly right now. Thanks for everyone showing up today.
You all know me. We're kicking off our care package campaign drive to fill care packages to send to active duty veterans and to some retired veterans in hospices around here. So I'll keep it short and sweet, Pastor. If you will visit myself and JJ in the Northex on your way out, we can fill you in on what we're doing and what the ministry is all about. It's an LCMS ministry that is geared directly towards veterans. It's not veterans taking care of veterans, it's the church taking care of her veterans. So I'll end it there.
Go in peace, serve the Lord with joy.